Hi, everybody. Since we're doing The Shape of Water today, I thought I'd have my old pal Guillermo del Toro come in. How's it going, Guillermo?
Good. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. I can't believe you fit it in. Your busy schedule. It's unbelievable.
Very busy. Very busy. We're working on a sequel to Pan's Labyrinth.
Oh, what's that called?
It is called The Taste of Water.
The Taste of Water?
Yes.
Don't you think that's a little similar to The Shape of Water? You're kind of piggybacking there on your
We're
own.
We're creating a Del Toro cinematic universe.
Oh, yes. Okay, well, who am I to question your success? I
mean, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So I have a question about the movie.
Uh-huh.
You showed the fish man, the asset.
Yes.
But he had kind of like the Ken doll smooth genitalia area.
Yes, he did.
And so did you think about showing the actual penis?
We tried.
What happened? What do you mean?
Too expensive to make.
Too expensive to make just the penis part?
Yes. You see, in my world, the penis of the fish creature, you know how when you let go of a hose when it's on, it spins around recklessly?
Yeah, sure.
That was my vision for the fish creature's penis, and we were not able to do that convincingly.
Okay, so let me get this straight. The penis would come out and then spew out?
Just like spin around, like back and forth, up and down, like an uncontrollable force that he had no power over but was completely prehensile.
Okay, and did you mess around with making the creature anything else, or was it always going to be a fish thing that this lady had sex with?
No, we tried like a coral creature. We tried a sea anemone where she would just touch it and it would close up immediately.
Mm-hmm.
We tried a collection of plastic that had been thrown into the ocean and had become a sentient god in South America.
Okay. Why didn't you go with that? That sounds fun. That sounds good.
We just thought that at the time that the movie took place, there would not have yet been enough plastic in the ocean to happen.
Yeah, it makes sense scientifically, yeah. And one last question. What do you do with your Oscars?
Oh, I bury them in my backyard.
Why?
So that nobody steals them.
Oh, that's actually, yeah, that makes sense. That checks out. That's smart.
Thank you.
Okay, you want to hang out? You want to get out of here?
Yeah, absolutely. If you wouldn't mind unlocking these handcuffs, I would be happy to hang out with you.
What are you talking about, handcuffs? Why are you?
I assumed that I was supposed to put these on when they were laid in front of me.
Who put that there?
They were here when I came in. These aren't yours?
No.
Do you have the key?
No, I've never,
I don't think we're going to have time to hang out. We have to solve this. Bad science. Did the movie get it right? Bad science. Or will we have to fight?
Science. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Bad Science. I am your host, Ethan Edinburgh, and today we're talking about the four-time Oscar-winning film, The Shape of Water, Guillermo del Toro's The Shape of Water. I have wonderful guests here today. I'm very excited. Of course, we have one of Comedy Central's 2018 Up Next Comics to Watch. She has a new album called I'm Not Well, which is out right now. And you cheated in biology, were just saying?
Yeah, big time. Big
Great.
Time, yeah.
It's Steph Tolev.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here,
hey,
Steph.
Hey, this is fun.
Much appreciated. Already fun?
I'm already excited. I don't get to be surrounded by smart women, so this is very fun.
Yes, that is
usually
the best part.
Dumb comics, so this is nice.
Yeah, like me.
And they're women, so this is great.
No, it's going to be fantastic, and I know this by experience because we've had Misty Peg Tran on the program before. She's an assistant professor of marine biology at Cal State Fullerton. How's it going, Misty?
It's going. Now I just feel really pressured to try to be smart here today.
No pressure. Just be you, and I'm sure it'll be fantastic. Listeners might remember you from the Finding Nemo episode, which is all time one of my favorites. It was so fun. We learned so much in that episode. And this episode, you've brought a friend here with you today. It's our first time meeting her. She is a reproductive physiologist at Cal State Fullerton, Christy Forsgren.
Hi, thank you for having me today.
Absolutely, Christy. How are you?
Very good, thanks. I'm very excited to talk about the movie and our creature's genitalia today.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Misty told me in an email that you are a fish sex expert. Is that correct?
I study fish genitalia, yes. If you want to call that an expert, okay. There's probably a small handful of us in the world, but
one.
Yes, one. Wow. In my lab, we study fish penises.
Fish penises.
Yes.
So do people ever send you like a fish dick pic instead of like a regular dick pic? Because that would be fun. I kind of want one.
I get a lot of texts a variety of things. And as long as it's not human oriented, I think that's okay.
Oh, wow.
But yes, and I'm very excited. So recently there was a lab on our campus and they had a self-fertilizing urchin. So they had a sea urchin, you know, purple spiky urchin. And they were doing an experiment and it produced both eggs and sperm. And usually they're dioecious. So male and female are separate sexes. And everybody in the department who was teaching this class was texting me and my phone exploded. You'll never believe what's happening right now. So I love it that people think of me when they think of reproduction and gonads.
Wow.
So, yeah, well, now we will.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, I can't
wait. And what was that word you used to describe when it has both?
Both sexes, dioecious.
Dioecious.
So if it's dioecious, you have sex separate sexes. Okay. So humans, male and female.
Oh, so we are dioecious.
We are dioecious. Okay. So something that's monoecious would be a hermaphrodite, one that has both the ovary and the testes.
Which, if I'm not mistaken, there's a lot of marine biology. There's a lot of marine creatures that are hermaphrodites.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah.
Including fishes.
Including fishes.
I've learned more weight now than I have in high school. I've just learned more than before or 5 years I've been in school.
We'll teach you the most exciting parts of biology today.
I already love male genitalia. I can't wait to learn about fish genitalia. Yeah, this is really getting me going.
Fish dick pics?
It's
going to be sick.
Yeah. Folder open.
So you just said that fish, like they're all hermaphrodites.
No. Only some of them.
Oh, okay. That's why I was
confused. Very special fish are hermaphrodites, right?
Okay. Gotcha. And fish, just to be clear, because it feels like a huge umbrella term to me. Like there's all different kinds of things that could be considered fish or are considered fish, right? So what could you just like break that down? Because I think we're going to say fish a lot on the podcast. What are we talking about?
So that's actually like the hardest thing to define, because even when I teach ichthyology, which is study of fishes, and I make them try to define it, and there's no good definition of a fish, right?
Wow.
Because every time you come up with a definition, something breaks that. Mm. So it's like, they mostly live in water, but not always, because there are some fish that come out of the water. Ooh. They mostly breathe by their gills, but there are some fish that breathe air. And so there's actually a fish that can like functionally drown if it doesn't have access to an air.
Okay.
So
what are these
it's a lung
anomaly fishes?
Yeah, it's called a lungfish. And so it lives in Africa, and there's an Australian version and a South American version.
Okay.
And basically it's called a lungfish because it has what's called a swim bladder, but it fills with air. And so they gulp air. And then when it dries out, the fish actually creates like a little mucus bubble all around it.
Whoa.
And it goes to sleep until the rains come back. So like half the year or
more. Like hibernates in its own mucus?
Yeah, in its own mucus bubble.
Oh my God.
And it's like, yeah. And so if you put it in a tank and you don't give it the top where there's air, it will die.
It'll drown.
Yeah.
Fish kind of gross me out. I feel like that's kind of disgusting.
Whoa. Let's unpack that.
I don't know.
Why do fish gross
me out? Well, that's kind of, I go to my parents' cottage and like, every time I look under the water and look at the fish, they gross me out. And that's like a reason. That's disgusting.
Because it's like slimy?
They're slimy and they're just, there's the gills and the eyes. Eyes gross me out, and then the blinking with that clear layer that they have or whatever eyelid they have. It's a lot of gross things.
But most fish don't do that.
Yeah.
So that's actually a shark thing that nictitates. It's called a nictitating membrane,
and
like the third eyelid, right?
Okay.
No fish have that. I mean, there are a few. That's more of like an amphibian and lizard and bird. And actually, your cat has a third eyelid.
Ew.
And dogs
just
have
mine.
A third eyelid. Just yours.
Very
no other
cat.
That's crazy. This is not scientific at all, but I kind of have the opposite approach to eyes, the opposite like reaction. I love when I'm learning about the eye or seeing like looking into somebody's eyes, not to like freak you guys out here.
Yeah, that's
but
weird.
Like, it's just, I find it so fascinating. And that's what makes me more than anything like appreciate like human life. And just that we're all here and
through
able
the eyes.
To. Yeah, it's just, it's such an insane thing to me, the way that it works and the way that it looks. And I don't know, it just totally overwhelms me with joy or just like revelation, you know? I can't believe that it's actually happening.
I
love it.
I'll send you some eye pics later. Yeah. So I love that we jumped right into the science, obviously, because I'm very curious and that's what I want to get to. But let's not ignore the film for a second. I want to talk to you guys about this movie. It's critically acclaimed. Everybody loved this film. I was personally skeptical as hell going into the movie. I saw it like maybe about a year ago for the first time. And just, I was thinking, how could this, everyone loves this? Like the trailer, it looked good, but it didn't look like, you know, Citizen Kane or whatever. Ended up loving the movie. Thought it was fantastic.
Really?
Did not. I totally hit me sideways. Obviously, as we were texting about Steph, there was like a few things where when it got into fish sex, I was like, what? How would... This is part of the movie. Why would they hit this straight on?
Yeah.
But I did appreciate how they did it because most movies won't do it. They'll just ignore, you know, if Beauty and the Beast, for example, which I think was like partially inspired this film, like the old one from the 60s, or any of those like creature love story type films, they won't talk about that. They won't talk about the anatomy. And so I'm sure you guys really appreciated that as scientists. But for us more as the audience, we're like, what? Why describe that? Why go into it? It makes it like so weird. But that is like a natural question that all of us would have. Steph, if you're dating a fish guy, one of the first things I'm going to ask you is like, how's that work? What's going on in there, you know?
I mean, it might be easier than dating regular men in the city, so I think I'm just going to hang out by the ocean from now on.
A lot less arguing.
I found the movie disturbing, to be honest.
Was this the first time you were seeing it?
And I thought people were joking when they were tweeting about how they had sex. I was like, oh, this is a funny gag. What a funny tweet everyone's saying. And then I watched it, and I was like, oh, this is real. They had fish sex, however the hell it worked. And I don't know. The movie was too much for me. It kind of grossed me out. And the fingers, when they were like, that whole thing grossed me out. And that guy was kind of gross. And a lot of guns and the bullets. It was too much. It was more gory than I thought it was going to be. And
oh, wow. Interesting.
I don't know.
Didn't do it for you.
It didn't do it for me. And
okay.
The sex thing really just, I couldn't get over it. I really couldn't get past it. It was really disturbing to me. And she can hold her breath for a long time. There's a lot of questions. There's a lot going on.
Sure, yeah. A lot of magic you have to like.
Yeah, I don't know. I get it. Whatever. Then she's living in the water at the end. I don't get it. It's too much for me.
Okay, Misty Christie, who I think will, after this, have your own film review podcast show.
Right.
Misty Christie Talk Movies or something. What'd you guys think of the film?
I loved it. When I saw the advertisements, I was at first also kind of leery because I was like, oh, this is about the ocean and an ocean creature. And those always kind of get me wrong with the science. But my husband saw it, said, I think you'll really like this. And I loved it. I wasn't put off by the fish sex. There are definitely questions.
Yeah. That seems like something you enjoy.
Well,
you're learning about it. I don't mean like, you know, personally, but...
Yeah, not... I don't
you
have like, any
but
personal
if you do, no
experience.
No judgment.
I'm not going to bring any personal experience into this at all.
Yes.
Got it.
One thing in the movie that I thought was really interesting is the general, the evil guy with the nasty fingers. I was equally as disturbed by his hand, by the way. I was fixated on it. I had to always look away when he had those nasty black fingers on there.
Yeah.
But at the beginning when they were talking with the creature and the scientist... Hofstetter. Mm-hmm. He obviously was interested in it in a scientific way, and the general's like all scientists, they passionately fall for their creatures that they study. And I was like, I can honestly say I've never had any passion towards anything that I've studied.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of interesting. But I did love the film. I thought it was fantastic.
Okay.
I really liked it.
Okay, one and one here so far.
Okay, I've totally fallen for like everything I've ever studied. I have like oarfish heads in my freezer. I love them.
Whoa.
I have piranhas in the lab right now.
I hope.
Not in the like I want to love you.
Yeah.
You know.
You don't talk to them or like.
Oh, I do talk to them.
Okay, here we go.
Name them.
Okay.
But for me, okay, so when you told me Shape of Water is what we were doing, I hadn't seen it.
Oh.
And when I started I was like, okay, fish porn, I know that part.
Right.
Like nothing else. When I started watching it, it took me back to the 80s with Splash. Do you remember that movie?
Yeah,
with like Tom
Splash.
Hanks and Daryl Hannah, and she was a mermaid.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole point of it was like, you know, she came out of water to visit him. And then the whole like end of the movie, they had to save her from the research scientist and like get her back in the water. I was like, oh my God, it's Splash with porn, right? Like fish porn. And so, I was like way into it at that point. I was like, get him out. But then I had real issues with like, you know, the scientist made such a big deal that he had to be in 1 to 3 parts per thousand salinity, right? And so she had to do the salt and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she was going to release it at the docks, which is way high salinity. And I was like, she's going to kill him. She's going to kill him. And so this was like...
So you're coming at it from a whole different angle.
I had dreams about it. So I watched it on Saturday. And all Saturday night, I couldn't sleep because I was like... She killed the fish man. She killed
the
fish man. She put him in the wrong salinity. Like, he's a freshwater fish man, and he's going into the salt water. And, like, how is he going to survive?
And so, funny.
Yeah, I legit did not sleep that night.
I was more focused on the fact that the fish man had so many abs. and no penis when
he was ripped
right?
up.
He was like 12 pack.
He was really jacked up. Well, he had a bunch of eyes. That's what threw me off. He had like three eyes blinking.
Yeah, yeah. They were saying when they were like designing him that they wanted it to be like, you know, aesthetically pleasing. Like they wanted him to be a handsome, sexualized fish man. Mm-hmm. So that like, I can see how she's like kind of falling for him.
Nothing turns me on more than a man eating a cat's head.
And right.
Yeah, and then, that's what I go for. Just bloody mouth.
I try to do that on first dates as much as I can.
Yeah.
Oh, do you have a cat?
Get them interested. Give a cat and come over and pet it for a bit.
Okay, great. Well, I'm glad you guys dug it. And I'm actually kind of glad you didn't so that we can have like, you know, some drama here on the podcast.
Yeah, I had nightmares last night. It was not good.
Okay, so I forced multiple people not to sleep.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
For different reasons.
Well, actually, Guillermo del Toro forced it. I didn't do anything.
I'm all his
innocent.
Fault.
Yeah. I have a few like trivia facts about the film. So it's the first sci-fi film to win Best Picture, which I thought was very cool. Hasn't really happened before. So Guillermo del Toro first met Sally Hawkins, who plays the lead character, which I don't remember her name.
Do you guys Eliza.
Eliza, thank you. So they first met at the 2014 Golden Globes, and he pitched her the film while he was drunk. So I just thought that was like a really funny scenario to imagine where he's trying to describe how she's going to fall in love with this fish guy and he's wasted. And then it actually like worked, like she was interested in it.
I wonder if that was better that he was drunk. She's like, okay, maybe I can see when this goes into production, it might be tamed down a little bit.
Yeah. And I wonder if he's like, so first scene, you're going to be naked and masturbate in the water.
Right.
Are you cool with that? Like that was just, it was just so much off the top.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a pervert. I'm not going to say I'm not like, look, we all enjoy masturbating, but I'm like, this is, and in the water, I don't know. It was a lot for me.
Again, though, I gotta say,
it's only 20 minutes, right?
Yeah, it was a very, very specific time. Very wet. My bathtub also grosses me out, so I couldn't really get off in there. To tell you the truth, it's
well, you gotta clean your bathtub.
Yeah,
you gotta clean that up. I liked how it started like that, and it had these like
you
I don't know, like it just like spat in the face of tropes or like motifs of these movies that are like I don't know, a little too safe or a little too predictable or something. Like when things like that happened in the movie, I felt like, oh, cool. Like he's taking risks, you know, he's stepping out of bounds in a cool way, which I dug.
Yeah, I was taking after Amazon Prime, right? Every one of their shows starts with like masturbation or sex now in the first like 2 minutes.
Oh,
so
wow.
I was like, oh, look, it's like a Prime movie.
Yeah.
Everything's porn now. That's all it is.
Yeah, well, hey, people love it. Okay, so Michael Shannon, who played the bad guy in the movie, Finger Man. There's a fish man and there's Finger Man.
There's a lot of specific things in the movie.
So he's awesome, obviously. I mean, everybody was awesome in the movie. I feel like we can all admit that, right? Yeah, the acting was like superb. But this was a funny story. So he was in a Chicago bar called Old Town Ale House. Shout out to that bar if you're from Chicago, I don't know. And so he was there when the film won Best Picture at the Academy Awards. He was like watching at the bar by himself having a pint of beer, and the owner like posted a photo of it on Twitter, so you can go check that out. But I just thought that was like, I don't know, like in character, I guess. Like he's this brooding guy who's just by himself watching his film win an Academy Award for Best Picture. So I thought that was great. And he is typically like the hero in those kinds of movies. And so that was another thing that they flipped around. You know, he's like the square jawed, all American, like that's the guy who's going to like save the day probably and like usually free the monster. And in this film, he's like this really evil army.
Gross husband.
Evil on so many levels.
He was just
gross.
With his family, he was gross. With his wife, he was gross.
Right, exactly. The whole time, he's just this.
He's disgusting.
So
yeah, he's a full pig.
He went full pig.
Yeah, he was full pig.
He went full pig in this fish movie.
Yeah, he did.
I had no sympathy for his fingers rotting on his hand.
No, he needed to go.
And as gross as it was, I also really dug those scenes with his fingers all messed up,
so
just because it made me anything that can give me that like visceral reaction that's not just for, because I did think it'd have a part to play in the movie, but if you're just gonna like gore for gore's sake, like in those horror movies, I'm not about it as much. But in this, I've every time it happened, I was like, give me more of that like messed up finger, dude.
You're sick. You got problems.
You're probably right.
This is an issue.
Okay, so let's hop back now to the science, because there's one huge question that we're all, I'm sure, thinking of in this film when we're watching the film, and it is probably
How
for you, Christy.
How big is the fish's dick?
You want to know about the reproduction of this?
Yeah, we need to know about the fish dick. I think that's the main. Was that what you're going to ask?
Pretty much. Okay. Yeah. Like, what's it like, and how? Like, I don't know. What were your thoughts about that whole like having sex with a human person as a fish creature? All
and
that.
And where was
et
it? Where it hiding? Was Why it? Was it not there when he was standing up?
Yeah. Did it make sense scientifically?
Is there balls? There's a lot of questions here. Color,
I don't know
shape,
which question
texture.
To address first.
Okay.
Sketch it out for us.
Okay. He comes out of the bathtub. He looks like there is absolutely nothing there.
Yes. Ken doll.
Ken doll.
Yeah. It did look like a Ken doll. You're right. Yeah. Very smooth.
Very smooth. Very smooth. Yeah.
There was a reason he had to have all those abs was to distract from the smoothness down there. So he comes out and I was like, well, okay, this is interesting. And, you know, she copulates with him, right? And then she's describing to Delilah, her friend, the other housekeeping staff, that it's like a pocket. It opens and it comes out.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what we need to know about.
This is what we need to know. Okay. You're really excited.
I'm really excited. Right now. I've changed my whole body language. I'm fully facing you right
Steph
now.
Steph is very, dancing right now.
She's
very excited.
We're going to have to get her like a doll of this guy.
I might need this.
Yeah.
Maybe I like it now. I don't know.
They probably sell that online somewhere. Yeah.
I'm sure there's a blow up doll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh,
that's
so
I mean, kind of weird, but I kind of like
it. I'm not going to say it didn't come up in my research. I wasn't going to mention anything, but it's out there.
I didn't look up. I just assumed.
Okay, you're
so
right.
So I study internally fertilizing fishes. So most fish reproduce externally. So maybe you're more comfortable with this, where they just release the eggs and the sperm into the environment.
She's loving this.
No, I love
it.
She just didn't like the two. So a lot of fish that have copulatory structures, and we can call those by a bunch of different names, genital papilla, in humans and other mammals, we call it a penis. In other fishes, they have structures called flask organs or gonopodia. So there's a lot of different names that we can call these copulatory structures. If you think about it, and I think probably the best way is not directly associated with our creature in the movie, but if you think of a whale is a mammal. So it has testicles, if you want to use the terminology balls.
Okay. Oh, we can use testicles. I'm an adult.
Okay, you're okay with that.
I prefer balls. Whale has balls.
Yeah, I mean,
a whale has balls.
It sounds funnier having balls.
Basically, I just didn't know that.
All that is the testes.
Okay.
Okay, and so if you think about a large whale, think about maybe the size that copulatory structure, penis might be, and the testicles are going to be large as well.
Pictures. Okay, whoa. So are they on the is this on the outside?
No, because here's the problem. Think of a big whale or even a dolphin. It's going to be a problem to have those hanging out in the environment, right? There's predators in the ocean. That's a nice, quick, easy meal. So they want to keep those inside.
Okay.
Nice,
I didn't know that was the, oh my God,
what? Misty is showing us a picture of a...
Is that a dolphin or a whale
dick? That is a whale
penis.
That's a
whale penis.
I hate that. I'm not going to lie.
Wow.
That looks...
Not what I was expecting.
No, it looks like there was something removed from it. Yeah,
it looks like a huge octopus tentacle sticking out of water.
And I didn't think it would be flesh colored. I thought it would be whale colored.
Yeah,
it looks
much more pink.
Yeah.
It's like pink. Like a dog, right? When you see
there's
a
lot of blood vessels there, which gives it that nice pink color.
That
nice pink color. I like, I'm not into the pinkest dicks. Now we know what your husband's got.
Yeah, that was a good call.
These structures are all kept internal.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
So, where they belong, by the way.
I think that.
Nobody
I don't think any woman whale would fuck that
whale.
If I saw that. If I was a female whale and I saw that, I'd be like, no, thank you, sir. Please put that away.
Keep the lights off.
Yeah. We got to find the deepest, darkest coral reef so I can't see anything.
Oh, that's too funny. So they keep them internal.
Okay.
So the fact that he had internal genitalia and testicles didn't bother me at all.
So that made sense.
It makes sense.
Okay.
So
well, even some of your fishes have them internally, right? That you
So I study surf perches right now, which is a local fish off of our coast, and they have a genital papilla. And in some of the species, it had never been described, and that's because it's very small, and some of them are inside these little pockets. So keep your business nice and protected until you're actually ready to bring it out and do your business.
I have a question about male. So for most fish... Would you say it's proportionate their genitals to the size of their fish body?
Or
is it like
it depends on how they copulate? So if you think of something like a shark, they have paired claspers. And they're pretty good size because the male has to bite onto the female's pectoral fin. And he has two, so that regardless of which side he's on, he can insert one or the other.
Two.
Yeah,
good. Paired.
This is also a somewhat common phenomenon, right? There's like several species that have double dicks.
They have two. Yeah, yeah, because that makes it convenient.
Had to say it.
Regardless of what side of the female you're on, you're able to insert for copulation.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Does she have two vaginas or she's one?
The female
she
only has
two uteri.
Yeah. Okay.
So she can have babies in
but she
in
just
two,
has one opening.
Okay.
Yeah, one genital opening that goes into her reproductive tract.
And they you said they bite on the fin?
Like yeah, the sharks do to hold on to the females.
Oh, okay.
So
that sounds romantic. Get the hell over here. And then just
so they can either have two or they can have one. And my guess is based on Eliza's conversation with Delilah, he probably only has one.
Right. It's more of a bony fish than a shark.
I think so. Probably more of a... Mm.
Now, yeah, would you think, from your expertise, that what came out of the fish man was the same color as that whale dick we just saw, like a flesh color situation?
Yes, I would have to say...
Oh, so it looks almost more human, kind of?
Well, it would definitely be more of that pinkish color, because if... For this animal, I think that it's probably more like something like our lizards. So a lizard has what's called a hemipene, and they either can have two. There's species that have paired hemipenes inside, or they can have one, which is called a hemipenis. Mm. So they're held inside. Should we stop?
You can keep going.
So they either have two or one. They're held within the inside of the body, and they're there until it's time to reproduce. And then they evert that hemipene or hemipenis, singular, out when it's time to reproduce. Is what I thought is it probably is more like that. So it opens up the pocket and there's some kind of a hemipenis that comes out. And with the hemipenis, it's erectile tissue, so very similar to the human. So this is what I imagined it to be. The question I had with this creature, if it was like these hemipenes and hemipenises of our lizards and snakes, there's a few snakes, like there's a cobra that has a smooth hemipene, but for the most part, they have spikes and hooks. So this is what my question was
and
for
sharks
her.
Sharks do too, with the hooks.
Wow. Yeah.
So lots of, and even your cat and your dog have hooks. So the reason for the hooks is once the copulatory structure is inserted into the female's reproductive tract, it gets stuck.
Whoa.
And so this is a benefit for the male because it increases his reproductive success. As long as she is mating with him, she cannot mate with any other male. So,
like at that time?
At that particular time.
Okay, so how long does it stay in there for?
It depends on the species. Sometimes minutes, sometimes hours.
Hours? Wow. I'd call the police at that point.
Yeah, it
seems
shark
like
police.
It's a bit long.
So I was not surprised when she described that it was a pocket that opened up and it came out. Mm-hmm. My question was, does it have spikes? Does it have hooks? How long did this copulation last?
And was she using a condom?
Right.
Well, she would. I don't think she would need to. Okay, so reproductive.
I feel like that's the ideal time to use a condom when you're having sex with a fish man.
You don't think, I doubt he's ever been tested in his life.
Exactly.
Probably not. But there's this thing called reproductive isolation. And so this is probably the biggest issue that I had with the movie is you don't see species mating with other species. This is the whole definition of a species, right?
Usually.
Generally. Yeah, so speaking in general. So we have what's called reproductive isolation. So you might have animals that could copulate, but they're isolated by geographical distance. So they're never going to come into contact with one another. Mm-hmm. Or they can be separated by temporally, which means in time. So maybe the related species, one breeds during the daytime, one's mating at nighttime. They're not really going to come together very often. You can have courtship. So a lot of animals do courtship behaviors. So sometimes they do a dance or a display that may or may not be attractive to the other species. That would isolate them.
Right.
You can have mechanical isolation, which is kind of goes on this lock and key theory that we have in reproductive biology, where the genitalia must fit. So if the genitals don't fit together, there's not going to be any act of copulation. Mm-hmm. So that was a big question for me.
Yeah.
But kind of getting back to you, like, should she have worn a condom? The chances of his sperm fertilizing any of her eggs are highly unlikely.
Okay, that's, yeah, that was
so,
yeah.
You know, there's the safety precautions, but is he really going to impregnate her? Probably not.
But she then becomes kind of a fish creature towards
she
the end.
She does. Her so voice, maybe he can do something to change that, right?
Yeah.
So if you can have animals, like Misty said, that do copulate and they can produce an offspring. So what I just described to you are the prezygotic. So before the egg becomes fertilized are mechanisms from preventing species from mating. But post-copulation and post-zygotically, so let's say that sperm actually did fertilize the egg, there are mechanisms to prevent this as well. Sometimes the chromosome sets don't match up, so it's not going to be a viable offspring, and it will die before it ever is born or ever really comes to fruition. Then you can have situations where maybe it does. Maybe the offspring is born, but it could be unhealthy because of the chromosomes not matching up. Maybe it dies early on in its lifetime. And then you could have something like the mule that Misty mentioned, which is our combination of a horse and a mule
donkey
to make our donkey to make our mule or our burrow.
Oh.
And this is a situation where you do have a viable offspring. However, it is infertile. And the reason it's infertile is, again, because those chromosomes, because the chromosomes from mom and dad are different and they don't match up, when the gametes, the egg or the sperm, go to divide, those chromosomes cannot divide evenly. So they're infertile. They're not able to undergo that meiotic division.
They can't make their own babies.
Oh. Can't make their own babies.
Oh, my God.
So, like, lions and tigers can do that, and you can get a liger,
yeah,
which is, like, the best because of Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah.
Like, that's a real thing, but wow, it just can't make another baby.
But a liger,
there's a dolphin, which is a whale and a dolphin.
The family cannot
ligers
continue.
Ligers are going to be sad and alone.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The ligers.
Right?
Oh, ligers. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Hey everyone, this is Jesse David Fox, host of Good One, a podcast about jokes. I am proud to announce that I have personally won the Streaming Wars. And there's a new docuspecial on Peacock based on our own Vulture podcast. Good One, a show about jokes, follows Mike Birbiglia as he develops new material, taking audiences through the process of transforming personal stories into stand-up. Featuring interviews with Mike's family and comedy colleagues like Seth Meyers, Hasan Minhaj, and Asko Akatsuka, Good One, a show about jokes, is streaming now only on Peacock.
The break is over. Here we go, back to the show about science.
So, okay, so then, because I skinny dipped several times and I always got scared it'll get somewhere, this is I'm just bragging, I skinny dipped. I always got scared that a egg could swim up my vagina. Is this a crazy thought? Because well, someone said there's a lot of eggs in the ocean too, and I don't want
to say anybody's crazy. Eggs don't swim.
But
so,
like, I just figured if something could float up there or get in there.
Should
yes.
she keep skinny dipping?
Yes. Can it?
Is she at risk?
Have
she's
you ever
not
tested
really
with,
at risk?
Okay. Good.
Okay.
Not really,
I mean,
or at all?
From eggs.
From eggs.
Not from
sperm.
Parasites.
I meant sperm.
There
like,
are
I mean sperm.
Parasites. That will,
yeah, you don't want to, like, you know, you can get parasitic things getting
parasites
up there, which is not
there
an egg.
Yeah,
but
let me ask
what
you this. Where are you skinny dipping?
No, yeah, at a lake in Canada. It's fresh, it's clean.
There could be parasites.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, that sounds
bad. Oh, my
bad.
God.
You should get it checked out, probably.
No.
If you want, I'll leave the room and you guys can test her, whatever you do with fish.
So have you never tested a human and fish stuff together?
Totally unethical.
No,
wouldn't be able to get that past protocol.
No.
But
whoa.
I mean, that's kind of the idea between like apes and humans are an ape, right? And so that idea of like, could you put a chimpanzee with a human, which are the close related, you could try. It probably wouldn't work. And if it did work, you would be, you know, put in jail for not following
ethics. Yeah, I can't
ethics.
See a woman
so
wanting to
we can't, you know,
give birth to
hey,
that.
Like, some girls, who knows?
Some girls might.
I mean, but they are, like, there is some talk about doing that with, like, woolly mammoths and trying to bring back mammoths by splicing their eggs with, is it the Asiatic elephant or the African? I think it's the Asiatic elephant because they're close related and, like, see if you can make a mammoth again. And so that doesn't pass ethics committees in U.S., I hear word that Russia is doing it. I don't know if that's 100% true.
Just to try and bring back a species or for...
To see, like, what is a woolly mammoth all about since they've been gone for so long, you know?
Yeah, sure. I'd love to see a woolly mammoth. It sounds great.
I feel like they'd be very confused. Like, wait a second.
It'd be so
We've
lonely.
Been gone for so long.
Yeah.
But they actually do that with fish.
Oh.
So there is an endangered salmon that migrates to Idaho, and... it's critically endangered because of the damming. So salmon, if you don't know, they spawn externally. So they release eggs and sperm into their environment in fresh water. And then the babies, when they hatch, they swim down the fresh water. They physiologically adapt to seawater. They'll be at seawater and grow until they're reproductively ready. And then they'll go back to their home lakes or streams to spawn again, and then they die. So there is an endangered salmon in Idaho, and there's a research group that has been able to successfully implant the eggs and sperm of that endangered fish into other fish. So they can get the ovary to produce the eggs, and they can get the testes of a different species to produce the sperm. Then they can mix those. They usually do it in an aquaculture environment, and they're trying to save the species this way.
Wow.
So it's like a host,
and
it has to be closely related. Absolutely.
Eating salmon, lox, et cetera. So that's great news.
You're just like looking at the fish and you just love
it. I haven't seen one recently, but I'm sure I would love them.
Looking at it and thinking breakfast.
And you're thinking, those eyes are beautiful. I love this.
That would be good with cream cheese. You mentioned I had a note on, I think something, broadcast spawning. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, broadcast spawning is external spawning, wherein generally is what happens. All the conspecifics, so all the individuals of the species, they come together in a given area and they release the eggs and sperm at the same time. And they'll release millions and millions of them. And once they're released from the individual, fertilization and the offspring are kind of on their own. Mm-hmm. So it will, you know, fertilization will occur. And there's millions and millions of eggs and sperm that are released. And that's to accommodate for predation or the lack of fertilization. And then the offspring obviously have no parental care.
Wow. And that is also fairly common, right? For
that is
fish?
More common than internal fertilization.
Oh, wow.
Crazy. And so, yeah, they raise themselves. They figure out life on their own.
Yep.
With friends?
I thought fish were dumb.
Sometimes.
Sometimes they
I
have,
mean, they sometimes they
little...
can go into small groups or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's nice. At least they have something,
yeah,
a little community.
Yeah, you feel like a little liger fish swimming around all alone.
Yeah,
usually they're kind of floating at the top of the water column, you know, with other plankton. So there's all kinds of things mixed in. And so they have, it's not easy living, right? Because things will pick them off and eat them. And so there are other fishes that eat plankton, and so they'll get eaten. So there are a few, like, you're releasing millions of eggs and sperm, but only a few survive. And so it's kind of like mom just doesn't care, right? If like one or two survive, then woo, success, right?
Mm-hmm.
Versus if you have internal fertilization, you're really like putting all your energy into making that baby survive. So you'll have much fewer offspring.
I feel like I'd be way more into having a baby if I could do this external thing. Just have it sitting up there and just look at it every now and then.
Like, you don't even necessarily have to take care of it.
Well, I mean, that just sounds awful. But I don't want this anymore.
Well, it's a fish.
But to fish, And in the fish environment, most of the time when we do see parental care, it's by the male anyway. So
the dads are stepping up.
Yeah,
finally.
In the fish world, they do.
Finally, males doing something. okay, so I want to, I was writing down more fish fuck questions, but that's the most scientific way, I think.
Yeah.
That's how you say it. But before we get to that, I just had a couple things that came up that don't have to do with that, and then we'll hop back if that's okay.
Absolutely.
So I wanted to talk about bioluminescence, biofluorescence. If you guys know about it, maybe you can school us. I don't know anything about it, but I was watching the film and he was kind of like lighting up, glow in the dark
style.
That
was the bioluminescence, not biofluorescence.
Okay, explain to me / everyone the difference and what they are.
So, do you want to do it? You want me? Okay.
If you can.
So
bioluminescence
basically means that they have an internal sort of structure that will then light up. So if you think about like a deep sea animal that lives in the dark, a lot of times they'll have little cells around their body that will light up, and usually it's for communication. It tends to be red. Sometimes it's blue, like what our sea creature was kind of a blue color. And see, he had kind of a pattern all over his body, so he reminded me a lot of a fish called a midshipman, which kind of looks like it kind of looks like a toad, but it's actually a fish.
Oh.
And it, you know, can light up And depending on what they use it for, there's lots of different reasons to have bioluminescence.
Okay.
Biofluorescence means that you sort of fluoresce under certain lights. And so, like, for example, they have shown that even sharks have biofluorescence, where if you put them under sort of fluorescent light, they kind of light up like green color. Whoa. Or oranges and things. And so if I remember correctly with that, they think that they actually see at a different wavelength. And so they're able to see like so when we use the term conspecific, it means the same species.
Okay.
So like, you know, a shark that biofluoresces can see another shark that's biofluorescing, but other fish wouldn't be able to see it.
Whoa.
Right. And so, so if you are in danger of being eaten, but you want to find a mate, right, mm-hmm. you potentially can see at a different wavelength that would allow you to see.
So sharks are kind of seeing each other glow in the dark.
Yeah.
While we just see sharks and
yes.
fish and whatever.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Like, they need anything else. Sharks are already enough,
yeah,
I think,
ruling.
Going on, right?
Well, if you think they're in a water environment, it might be difficult to see each other, especially if it's turbid. So that's a way that they can cue on mm-hmm. to a visual cue and know that that's the one individual I want to go seek out.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. And there was something, GFP, green fluorescent protein, that was discovered, which is like mm-hmm. a big deal. They can
this
like
is a big deal.
Okay.
So that is the protein. Like, I get all psyched about this, right?
Great.
Because
yeah.
so where I did my PhD at University of Washington, I did it on a field station, and we had a structure, like the protein structure of GFP, because it was such a big deal. Because we didn't know how these animals were actually lighting up and like what it was that
yeah.
did it. GFP is the protein
that's
that
the
allowed
answer.
It to light up. So, like, we get really stoked about it from, like, UW gets stoked about it because I think it actually happened from a researcher that was there.
Oh, okay. Shout out. UW.
Yeah, right?
GFP.
Chrissy also went to UW. So
yes.
we're like, really weird with
UW
the Chrissy Misty and UW and fish.
Great. What's the football team there?
Huskies.
Oh. Yeah. I don't know.
I was really hoping it was going to be like a dolphin or something.
No.
Something fishy.
They have
you
a fisheries school, but that's not really what drives football up there.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
Let's pause for 1 second. Speaking of I want to say logos. That's not the right term. Like mascots of colleges, which I know nothing about. Mm-hmm. On your latest comedy album, you said that you got like blackout drunk in Vegas and got a Longhorn tattoo.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Why you didn't go to that school?
No, I didn't at all. It was on a piece of paper. You could pick whatever $10 tattoo you wanted, and that
so
at the time was what I thought would look the best.
Can
on my
we
body.
Ask where it is?
Yeah, I can. Somebody is on the back of my leg. I'll
okay.
show you.
You
so
have
it
a
was
Longhorn on the back. Of, like,
yeah. Just like
okay,
a little.
So I'm also a biomechanist, which means like I'm into animal performance and like. That's awesome.
It's just the head. It's a small little head. It was, you know, it was $10. What am I going to say? No. It was
$10 tattoo sounds bad for many reasons.
It does. And I also didn't check if it was a clean needle. I'm sure I'm fine. It's all fine. It's all fine.
But it was just an aesthetic choice.
It was an aesthetic choice that I thought looked cool in that part of my leg
okay.
at that minute when I was 7 beers deep in Las Vegas at noon.
Great. What beer?
It was
that
a
happens.
Lot. Yeah.
What beers were you drinking?
Blue Moon. It was like
oh,
a happy hour special.
Moon.
Yeah. Yeah. It was good.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay. Just needed. I was very curious about that. So this GFP, why is it so important? What can we do? Like, what is that like advanced research wise?
So a lot of research with lights, like, you know, living lights. And so if you think of, I mean, and this is clearly not the only reason, right? Because
yeah.
from the medical standpoint, they're also interested in it. But like, like if you want to work on, let's say, a tissue or something, and you want to see what's happening with the cellular process, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't normally see that, but you can light things up.
Ooh.
And then when you're under the scope, you can see how things are working with that protein.
Okay.
So there's lots of different reasons. I mean, you might want to have, let's say, a flashlight that is a living flashlight maybe at some point.
Whoa.
And doesn't require batteries or electricity, right? There's that idea that like this protein could potentially be used for that, right?
So we didn't have anything like that before, something that just lights up on its own, that because I've just never heard of, you know, I was again doing very minimal research as per usual.
I mean, that hasn't really come to fruition yet with
okay.
with the like flashlight, but that's kind of the idea, right?
Right.
And so you know, having things be lit up with biological proteins and things and saving on electricity, right? Because we're always trying to get to that next step of you know, moving beyond electrical energy. And so that protein in particular is kind of exciting from that you know, standpoint, but definitely from the medical field. Christy might be able to jump in on that one too.
Yeah, I was trying to think. I know that there was some research at UCLA, and I don't recall the researcher's name, but a couple of years ago it came out that they were injecting patients, or they were trying to inject them with one of these markers, this bioluminescence. So it's a marker and you can attach different things to it. And the idea was that it would attach to this brain cancer, so into a brain tumor. So let's say that you could use this medically like this. You put a marker on it and say, okay, inject this intravenously, and then it will attach to any tumor cell. So any cell that's not undergoing a normal cell division. Then is what they could do with the patient. Let's say they want to go in and remove that tumor. Under certain light, they could actually see the tumor and know that they're getting all of the cells. So you would target specifically those ones that are lighting up, and you would know that you got all of the tumor. Because right now, when you go in, you're just taking a guess when you're removing that tumor tissue, and you don't know. And if there's any left behind, then the cancer is still going to be there, and it could metastasize and spread. So this would be a way of just isolating that.
Man, science is cool.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
I mean, so fascinating. Well, we're schmucks.
Yeah, but, I know. Damn it.
It's so fascinating that we had to learn that from fish, or like we had to get that protein from them that we couldn't, I don't know, have that ability ourselves. Is,
I mean,
like,
there are definitely other things that light up beyond fish. So like
all over
a lot of plankton that do. Yeah. As well. So sometimes you'll go out to, like, well, for us, because we're in Orange County, we go to Huntington Beach, but I don't know, whatever, you're close to Santa Monica Beach or something.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes in the spring, the waves will come in and they kind of like glow blue. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
No.
Sometimes people are like, oh my God, the power plant. It's not. It's just plankton. And so every time the wave crashes, it when you irritate the plankton, they light up. So like, when I was a grad student, we used to row across town to go to the bars, and we would get those in the summer. And so every time we rowed, you could see where you rowed because the plankton would get annoyed by your
oar. Why do they glow when they're irritated?
Is that GFP? Right?
No, why is there like a survival reason that they do it? Or
so different question. Different animals use it for different things. So in this situation, it could be a warning. So you can use that coloration as a warning device, like,
oh, I'm here.
Watch out. Maybe I have big teeth. Maybe I taste bad. So I'm going to warn you ahead of time.
Okay.
And a lot of animals do this. They have bright coloration, and these can use this bioluminescence to just warn off predators.
I wish I had this so bad, by the way.
I know,
it sounds sick.
You just have
walk around. Do you have coming around you?
I just have mace on my keychain. I guess that kind of works.
I just think about it from like a live show perspective. Like, how cool would that be?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was like, no, I'm thinking about creeps.
Well, that would also help. Be like, I don't want to mess with her.
Yeah,
she's glowing.
A lot of those dinoflagellates that do that are toxic. They have a toxin within them, so it could be a warning. Mm-hmm. But the animals use it for communication, like Misty was saying, for conspecific, just like us, communicating non-verbally.
Yeah.
And then other animals use it for reproductive purposes as well, like I'm ready to mate. Is there anybody else who's also in this status?
Oh.
And actually, some predators use it as well to get other fishes and things to come in. And so they'll like dangle it, like, look, it's a pretty light. You know, if you've ever gone out to the ocean and put a light in the water, all the fish will come up to it. And so
that's a good move.
Just another
trap them.
Like, attraction.
I'm never taking a light to the ocean. I don't want to see that.
Yeah,
I
that sounds scary.
That scares me.
Naked, apparently.
I have a question for both of you guys. Do you guys eat fish?
Yes.
Okay. I thought it was like a thing that maybe you're like, oh, we or don't.
My personal philosophy is if you study it and you don't want to eat it, something's maybe wrong.
Okay.
I mean, but then again, I don't study like cute and fuzzy. So I mean, it's like fish or fish.
Yeah.
right.
Yeah.
I just know if you had like a real like love for fish.
I don't love seafood a lot, but I like salmon.
Okay.
There's a few fish that I like, but I'm not a big shellfish person. And
what's
I just
favorite?
Eat everything.
Oh, okay. What's your favorite seafood then? She loves salmon.
I love salmon.
Favorite seafood for me? I don't know. I really like sushi, so I'm kind of like the black cod. I like black cod. Albacore. Yeah, I mean.
Cool. Like, Steph?
I'm just curious. I really like calamari.
Fried calamari, get out of here. Yes. Every time I see somebody, like when I'm walking, I could be just walking around here and I see like people sitting outside eating fried calamari. I'm just like, oof, I want that so bad. I could have just eaten and I will.
Yeah. So I have a grad student coming in that's going to be working on bite force and squids, and he's going to go all the way up to a Humboldt squid, which is a 6-foot squid that's like mean and nasty and like... I'm bringing a grad student because I don't want to do it because I'm scared of him. But he's going to do the bite force because basically when I was in Mexico, I used to see fishermen that would have big bites out of their arms, like chunks out of them.
Whoa.
And so we're going to measure that. But so lots of calamari on its way.
Oh, good.
Give us a
now
call.
Now they're right? mean, like, too. I'm really going to eat them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Those ones in particular are really mean. They'll eat each other. They'll eat like everything. If you fall in the water when they're there, they'll like bite the heck out of you. People, they die with them with like chain mail on them to protect them.
Oh my God. I had no idea.
I'm not swimming ever. Anymore. That's
yeah,
it. Ever.
Any pool. Ever again.
Jacuzzis is where I max out. I have honestly, guys, so many questions. We could do another 3 podcasts for sure. But I had a couple other. I mean, I know we talked about it already, but I guess we can go back for a second. The hooks and the, what was the other thing?
Hooks they have, and spines.
Yeah, and like spikes. So I was curious if that hurts their partner. Does that like,
aww,
besides hooking?
It
well,
can.
What a safe, nice man.
No, it's
this.
True, but like that sounds so dangerous.
It
you
doesn't
know?
Just hurt their partner. It also can hurt them, right? So like with
hurts
sharks.
Them.
Oh, yeah. So I have to show you. I tweeted about this not long ago about shark claspers, which are the penises, and so
claspers,
they look like
so much worse.
Unassuming because like they look like they're just smooth, and then they get in there and they like do one of those.
Whoa.
And it's got spines, and so for the female that is not all awesome, but for the male, actually, when they, you know, a male shark has mated because they usually come out real bloody.
Whoa. Oh.
And so part of that, I think, is because the female actually has so the outside of a shark is totally covered by teeth. It's called dermal denticles, but they're basically their teeth. And right at her opening, which is called a cloaca because it's both sort of the urinary and the vagina and everything, it's all in one, it has teeth all around it. So when he's sliding in, she's got teeth that are like grinding
this.
Right? So
have you seen the movie with teeth?
I haven't seen it.
No.
I heard about it.
Oh my God.
It.
It's about a woman who, like, she has teeth
right,
in her vagina.
Inside, right.
And then when guys, like, mess with her, like a guy rapes her, she bites it off.
Damn.
Nice.
I wish I had.
So she's basically a shark.
Yeah.
So wait, but then why? What's the purpose of the female having teeth in there?
Like, so it's not in, it's surrounding.
Okay.
So my short answer is we don't know. I have a student actually working on that
mystery.
To see, like, why have those teeth? But I think what happens is it creates sort of a friction to help keep that clasper inside.
Oh, okay.
So it's another way, you know, it has the spines and then you have the friction as well. And also to help her if she doesn't want to mate, right? Like,
get the hell out of here, buddy.
It's not easy to get that in if she's not allowing it to happen.
I'm going to have teeth surgically implanted
after
this podcast.
That sounds like a common procedure.
She's
a normal
dated.
Thing. I'll pay money.
Is it going to be a tough one to tell your partner about right beforehand?
Yeah. By the way, you might notice there's braces down there. Anyways, they weren't straight. Question, dolphins, because I've heard, I don't know if it's a rumor, but sometimes people say they get raped by dolphins when they go in those like pools and stuff. What is there? Do they have like a...
That's real.
That's real, right? That's
real.
What I thought.
Dolphins are awful. Little.
That's what I thought. They're gross perverts. Do they have a thing on theirs?
And piggybacking on that, just an additional question, is it true that dolphins are the only mammal or fish that enjoys, like they have sex for fun?
Probably not. Because dogs, I mean, you've seen dogs.
Yeah, they
like,
seem like constantly.
I love it.
Yeah, we know that primates enjoy.
Okay.
Bonobos in particular.
What's that?
Bonobos in particular are like, they look like chimps, but they're the lovers, and chimps are kind of the fighters.
And aren't bonobos like the super smart?
Well,
aren't they
both
like
are super smart,
very
but
smart.
They are more, they reaffirm their social connections with sex. And so bonobos are like the lovers. Chimps will just like bite your head off.
Oh, cute. Yeah.
So they use it for multiple
bonobos
things.
Bonobos call the next day. They're very sweet.
Yeah, that is really sweet. So what about that dolphin rape Steph was talking about?
Yeah. It does happen.
Yeah.
So what are their... do the dolphins have the spike thing too? Or
no?
Oh, they don't. Okay.
Yeah, it's probably smooth, like the whale that we saw. Whale.
But wait, I haven't heard about this. So
you've never heard about this?
No.
I've heard because people will joke about it, but I hate googling because if I can program, I do dolphins rape. Like, what am I?
So dolphins so dolphins run in kind of a pod, right? They have their family connection, and so when they come across another pod, dolphins are known to actually kidnap other dolphins from other pods, and then they. Well, I mean, rape is kind of, it's an anthropomorphic term, like it's a human term, right? Yeah. So, but they will force themselves on the other dolphin from the other pod, and they'll separate it from its family. So they basically kidnapped it to be part of its pod.
Whoa.
So they're pretty, I mean, like when I look at it, I don't want to study dolphins because I'm I think of it in terms
pigs
of humans.
Of the sea.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The Louis C.K.'s of the sea.
But like a lot of times when you have those dolphin encounters, they'll come up and they'll masturbate on you or they'll, you know,
Whoa.
Come out. But they're not the only ones. I mean, sea turtles, in mating season for sea turtles, it's well known when I go to my field site, like, don't get in the water if you see a sea turtle during mating season because they'll latch on to actual divers because they have this scuba tank, right? And so they look like a turtle.
Oh,
and they'll pull you down and they will actually penetrate divers. And so
divers? What does that mean?
Right. So this is like it's well known in the diving community, but it's not like publicized because divers don't want to talk about it. Like I just had a sea turtle, yeah, force itself on me, and they are strong,
terrible.
and they can take a long time, right?
Oh my god!
Yeah, right.
That's
you're welcome.
I'm honestly never going in the water again. Like that was a joke before. Now it's real.
This is scarier than Jaws. What?
It actually is more haunting than Jaws.
What other animals? I'm scared to ask this, but what other animals do this kind of thing? Dolphins, sea turtles. Now we have two predators. Are there others that need to be on this list?
Well, I mean, a sexual predator?
I don't know, because
sea turtles. I don't usually hear called predators. Most
it
people like
seems
them.
Seems aggressive to me. That's all I'm saying.
They are aggressive. Well, and so other there are others that do it, but what's I think probably you want to know is that, you know, we call it like a boner, right?
Okay.
And so so some of the animals we're talking about actually have a bone in their penis, and Chrissy can talk about that, which is where this comes from, a boner, right? Humans don't. We're one of the few animals that don't have it.
So we just took
and
that
so
term from the fish.
Not from fish, but from
other mammals. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Whoa.
Yeah, so it's called a baculum. And it actually is a true bone.
Okay.
And it's inside, and then it's used. And there is a little bit of erectile tissue with animals that do have a baculum, but primarily they use that for the stiffness in order to insert it into the female's reproductive tract. So humans and mammals that do not have a baculum, they utilize the erectile tissue, which stiffens and hardens so that it can insert into the female's reproductive tract.
Mm.
So your dog,
taking notes.
Your dog has a baculum.
Yes.
Those cute little squirrels running up the trees have a baculum, and they have an interesting one that looks like a spoon with some spikes on it.
Oh,
again,
why does every penis have spikes in nature?
Because you want to hold on and ensure your copulation.
These cute little things, I like. So the
animals with a baculum, are they erect all the time?
No.
Boners
so
all the time?
It's
no.
inside. They hold the baculum inside.
Okay.
And it's only when they're ready to copulate that it then comes out.
Okay.
So maybe our little creature had one of those. Okay. It could also.
Yes.
But because he was much more amphibian than he was.
He was more amphibian.
Fish, I think. Yeah. Like, I mean, he had the scales.
He was walking around.
Yeah.
Well, there are fish that come out of the water and walk.
And walk.
And, so, and like mud skippers. They mention it in the movie, even mud skippers that come out and they like.
Pectoral fins.
Yeah. Wow. Sort of walk around and
how
do their
thing. How long can they be out of the water?
Oh, a while. Like,
as long as they're in a humid environment and their tissues stay moist, they can stay out for a long time.
Yeah, because they're breathing through their skin. So some fish can breathe through their skin.
Wow.
Kind of like a frog would. A frog breathes through its skin as well.
Right, right.
I don't know. He wasn't quite full fish. He wasn't quite full amphibian. He's kind of in between because he had scales. And he had the weird abs. And I told Christy, I thought the abs were more like, there's this fish called a remora that sticks on, it's called a shark sucker. So it'll stick on other fish or whales or something with its head.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I wonder if that's a sticky organ. So I kind of figured when he was embracing her, he was like sticking onto her and keeping her there to like do his thing. But that might have been wishful thinking. with him.
That makes sense. This is a lot to take in.
And
never swimming with a dolphin for the rest of my life.
This is not a bad plan.
But aren't those? That's why I feel like people should know about this.
Yeah.
Because those, my sister went into one of those tanks in Cuba, whatever.
Yeah, she said the dolphin was so cute, right?
No, she was like, it freaked her out, and she tried to get out. The guy's like, no, don't make any sudden moves because the dolphin like pounced.
Yeah.
She's like, what the fuck? I don't want to be in here right now because they apparently are like,
that's creepy. That's a real aggressive. Like,
yes,
I've heard from a few
scientists also that it's just not like you shouldn't swim with dolphins. That they don't enjoy it. Don't do that.
No. They really don't.
No, we gotta stop doing
like,
that.
We just really force it upon. And like, I mean, you could kind of put the plug for killer whales too. Like, terrible life decision getting in the water with a killer whale.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason they have that name, killer whale. Even if they're the fish eating kind, right? Like, lots of
Free
accidents
Willy was
with...
a movie, but that's just a movie.
yeah. Leave it as a film. Okay. I mean, I had question. I wrote down two peens. Because you were talking about animals that have double dicks.
Yep.
And so I was just like, why do they have that? Is it like just in case something happens to it? I don't know.
Is it the guy's fingers if one rocks off?
If you lost one.
You have more.
That could happen. You would still have one. But most of the time it's for the convenience of mating. So with the sharks, they bite onto one of the pectoral fins on one of the sides. So let's say that you have your female, and let's say the male bites onto the left pectoral fin. It's closest for him to insert the right clasper.
Ah, the clasper.
So if he bites on the other side, let's say that he bites on the right pectoral fin of the female, he'll insert the left clasper.
Mm-hmm. Thank God men don't have this.
Yeah.
And then we see hemipenes in lizards and snakes. So the same thing, right? So think of a snake. In your mind, picture how they might copulate. And again, it could be more convenient to have two hemipenes so that wherever the female's reproductive opening is, he can conveniently use one or the other. They typically...
Snakes, though, it must be easy to have sex. Things roll any position. There's very...
They kind of ball roll.
Yeah, they roll up.
Yeah.
But then try to find the hole when you're in a ball.
Oof.
Yeah, I mean, that's... Yeah. I mean,
come on.
Sometimes it's already hard when you're just lying right beside them.
But they don't use both at the same time. As far as I'm aware, don't use both.
If so, that's a lot of...
Well, there are some sharks, actually, that do use both.
But
that's very few. Yeah.
Those are the real perverts. Those are the Ron Jeremys of the sea.
And Steph, if you're in bed with a guy, would you rather he call his unit a clasper or a hemipen? Which one do you think?
I think I like clasper. It's kind of cuter.
Yeah. Oh, it's kind of like Casper, the ghost. Friendly ghost.
Yeah. And that was Dan Sawa, who I had a crush on when I was younger, so it all makes sense.
Yep.
It all comes together.
Full circle. Okay, we're running low on time. Guys, I had so much stuff about, because they call it like a river god or something that from the Amazon.
Yeah.
So I have all this like Amazonian myth information, which you guys should look up because it's like really fascinating. They have like a bunch of like weird myths based on animals.
Yeah.
The Bufeo Colorado, which is a pink dolphin. Oh, you guys are nodding like
That's
you know
real.
About this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so I thought this was ridiculous. This is what I have. You tell me what's up here. But it says that they're only found in the Amazon. Mm-hmm. They have unusual appearance and intelligence. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what that means. Maybe you can explain that to me. But yeah, Bufeo, Colorado. Am I saying that right?
I don't know how to actually pronounce it.
Oh, okay. So
we'll
it says
go with it.
It's a shapeshifter that it turns into an attractive fisherman who uses his charm to lure girls away and convince them to have sex with him.
Okay.
Anything?
I don't like
Well, I mean, there is a pink dolphin, pink river dolphins. That's a thing.
Okay,
like, you know, can't really say that it's ever lured away, but that's kind of like a siren, right? For like the manatees
right.
do the same thing.
Just the
that they, like,
folklore.
Call, you know?
And there's a lot of cultures that have a lot of folklore about different animals.
Yeah, and animals with humans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of these were nuts. They're like heads that wander on their own. It's like ghost stories and stuff. So we don't have time, but everyone go look that up. It's fantastic, really fun stuff. But as we're wrapping up, do you guys have anything you want to plug, talk about? I don't know, some research coming out?
In my lab, we study surf perches. So like I said before, we study basically the genitals of a local surf perch species. And in our lab, one of the things we've discovered is that all of the surf perches have this genital papilla, which would be the equivalent of the fish's penis. And prior to our lab group studying this, there was only a few that had been described as having this genital papilla. And the other thing these animals have is called a flask organ, which is a paired structure on the anal fin. And in the literature, it wasn't sure whether they used this genital papilla or the flask organs. And as what we've done is dissect out the testes and connected it to the papilla and have determined that in the surf perches, we believe that all of them use a genital papilla, even if they have these secondary reproductive structures. Wow. That's where the sperm is coming from. So that will be being published by one of my graduate students, Evelyn wow. Bond, coming up in the next year or so. So okay. that's what's exciting in our labs.
Yeah, look out for that.
Yeah, seriously.
And do you like teach a class or run a
yeah,
some people can?
So I'm a professor. I'm an associate professor at Cal State Fullerton. So I okay. teach our physiology courses there. So right. I teach mammalian or human physiology for a lot of our health science oriented students. I teach a comparative animal physiology for students interested in physiology and a comparative aspect and reproductive biology. And if you're really, really interested in this internal fertilization, I'm actually developing a museum exhibit that will be on display in our museum at Cal State Fullerton in the Pollock Library next April through June. It's called uh-huh. The Science of Internal Fertilization. And we're going to take all different animals that reproduce internally and put them on exhibit. So if you want to learn more about penises and internal fertilization, come and visit my campus next yeah. spring.
I will.
We shall, yeah. I'll put a reminder for Steph and I to go check that out.
Yeah. That sounds Let great. Me know when you come down. I'll give you a personal tour.
Oh, the old personal dick tour. That's
yeah, nice. Personal yeah. peen, baby.
Oh, and I've collected so far about 30 back to put on display those wow. penis bones.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Oh, yeah. I'll be there for sure.
Yeah. Got to check out those baculums. yeah. Misty Pigeon.
We're Biomechanics Lab. We always have things coming out. So right now we're finishing up work with piranhas and how these little tiny fishes in the Amazon actually can survive piranha bites, like not just one or two, but like 12 or 13 bites and yeah. totally be fine. So wow. my lab does a lot of bioinspiration. We're going to be making new bioinspired designs from that thing. So all things biting and, you know, with the squids. And I have more students that are coming in to do tooth performance in sharks. And
great.
Gosh. Yeah. Walruses. We're going to start on walruses. Ooh. So lots of cool things
I
coming
love
up.
Walruses.
Yeah. Walrus have the largest baculum.
Now.
Really?
Absolutely.
Uh-oh. Mm-hmm.
Like, so it's not proportionate.
About 26 inches long.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my.
What?
Those poor walrus women.
Yeah.
It's or a club. Fortunate. The Inuit used it as a club.
Jesus.
Oh, my Lord.
How that is not what I'm studying.
That's what I'm about to start studying.
Yeah, that sounds great. I hope it's not pink and fleshy.
No, I just have the bone.
Oh,
okay, that sounds good.
Just looks like a bone.
Okay.
Tissue.
And, of course, Steph.
I mean, nothing like this. I have a dick pics in my phone if anybody wants to see them.
Sure, yeah.
A number of them. I don't know. Buy my album. That's, yeah. I'll say that. It's on iTunes.
I'm Not Well.
Yeah. It's called I'm Not Well.
Great album. You can get it anywhere.
Yeah.
And they should come see you. I'm
come
sure you're doing
me.
Shows.
I'm at Steph Tolev on everything. Instagram.
Great.
Whatever.
Okay. Fantastic. Guys, so much fun. Thank you for
being here.
Thank you for doing this.
Absolutely.
Could have gone on forever, I feel like.
yeah, we might not have touched much on the movie, huh?
No.
Honestly, totally fine. I think we all love the film, and that's great, but this was incredibly fascinating. So I really appreciate it. And I don't know. I hope that some other like similar film comes out because I really have so much. I have stuff about like toxic waste, radiation, mutant fish to talk about. And anyways, we'll get to it maybe on a sequel episode. But yeah, thank you, and I'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye. Bad Science is hosted and produced by me, Ethan Edinburgh. Our social media producers are E.J. Gullett and Kate Baker, and the executive peen-ducer is Brett Kushner. You can follow us on Instagram at Bad Science Show or write us an email at badscience@seeker.com. Obviously, leave us a review on iTunes. That would be the really, really kind thing to do. It helps other people hear about the show. I would really appreciate it. So leave that iTunes review, and I'll see you next week where we will be talking about B-movie. Be there, I'm sorry. Bye.